Hey, photographers, you know how much community means to us at Cowgirls with Cameras. It's how we all stay happy and sustainable in our craft. And it's in the spirit of community we want to take a moment to tell you about our sponsor, the Equine Photographers Network.
Equine Photographers Network is an online community of equine photographers from around the world. EPNET's mission is to support, network, promote, and educate photographers of all levels and backgrounds, and is an active, supportive community with a mutual love for horses and photography.
Visitors to the equinephotographers.org website may enjoy slideshows and portfolios of member work, as well as search the directory for a photographer in their area. EPNET also offers photographer/image search forms and a keyword searchable portfolio for image buyers to find exactly the images they are looking for. EPNET has several options for ongoing learning for their members, as well as a supportive private members Facebook group and online shoots, contests, and challenges. EPNET sponsors in-person photo workshops and promotes various equine photography-related events.
EPNET offers three levels of membership, from hobbyists through established professionals. We invite you to check out EPNET with a free 3-month trial as a basic level member. Visit equinephotographers.org to learn more.
It's time to laugh, learn, and take your photography to the next level with your favorite Cowgirls with Cameras, Kara, Kim, and Phyllis.
Welcome to the Cowgirls with Cameras podcast. I'm Kim with Kim Beer Photography and Be More Business.
I'm Kara with Fast Horse Photography.
And I'm Phyllis with Phyllis Burchette Photo. Good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing great. How are you this morning, Phyllis?
Oh, I'm just hunky-dory, Kim.
We sound like there's some big secret to that for the audience out there, but there really isn't. We're just grinning at each other, and it's funny. Yeah, so we just all got back from a big adventure in the great white north of Colorado, up in the high country with lots of snow and horses and really fun people and an amazing, amazing place to stay and a very comfortable bed to take a nap in at the Sea Lazy U Ranch, as well as a lot of great pictures to edit.
And you should know about that napping thing, Kim.
I do. I do love my naps. If I could get paid for napping, trust me, I would be a rich woman.
I think Kara and I need to take lessons from you about how to sleep.
That's all right.
Hey, I keep offering to hypnotize the two of you, and you just don't ever take me up on it. Take it from a sleeping professional. I can get you to relax.
While you were napping, Phyllis and I were horseback riding, snowmobiling, tubing.
Snow tubing.
Yeah. We were very busy and we had a fabulous time. And I just want to put it out there for the record for all of our listeners that I only complained about being cold like one time.
I was so
Thank
proud
you.
Of you, Kara.
Thank
you. Very good.
Awesome. Listen, yes. The number of batteries that were on my body keeping me warm. At one point. But you know what? That's how Florida girls go to the snow. Okay. We figured it out. I've got the formula. I've got the recipe. So when we do this, if we do this again and we go shoot horses in the snow, I now know the recipe to be comfortable. Yeah.
A big shout out to whoever invented heated gloves,
heated socks,
heated vests and jackets. Yes.
Do they have heated pants?
I had nothing heated. I'm sure they do. I had zero heated things. Zero.
Yeah, and you did complain about being cold, having cold
feet.
Yeah,
the Missouri girl complained about being cold.
And your fingers.
My fingers.
Cold.
So, I would definitely do the boots. I would definitely do heated socks and heated gloves. And I do have to say I did buy some waterproof socks because my boots are just roughly waterproof. And I do have to say the waterproof socks I bought were a very good investment. My feet stayed dry the entire time, which did make them better than normal. But I'm kind of gripey about cold weather anyway, because I have to deal with it more than you two do. So I get rather grumpy about snow. Even though it's very pretty, it is a pain. So
it was worth
in
it
in more ways than one.
Well,
it was worth it for the pictures.
And yes. I have to say, I'm missing it now that we're home. Like, I keep thinking about like how much fun it was. And I'm ready to go back already.
Well, I just want to give a shout out to the ranch. I mean, this ranch, Sea Lazy U in Colorado, they treat you like royalty. I mean, every little detail is taken care of. Amy and her crew, oh my gosh, our head wrangler, and she just, they pulled out all the stops. I mean, it was just, it was awesome. It was a great week. And our group, what amazing group we had. Just a wonderful group of photographers that were always laughing and smiling and enjoying the week and having a great time. So it was a great week.
The best group you could ask for too, for the first time at a location. Like, they were totally open and just like everything that we did, they were down for. And any little like schedule shifts or, I mean, like, it was just amazing. So I think that's part of it, is I walk away with just a positive feeling about the whole event. And I honestly, like, I'm really hoping we can do this again because it was so much fun. And
We are doing it again. What do you mean, you hoping? We are doing it again.
I think we already have made that decision.
I don't count my, what is it, that whole thing? You don't count your chickens until they've
before they're hatched
an egg or something. I don't know, whatever that statement is. So, you know, we got to get dates and stuff all figured out still. But
I know, but that's just a minor detail.
Just it a is minor a minor detail.
Detail. It's a done deal. We are doing it again next year. Thanks to Brady and Amy and, you know, everybody. Yeah. We're doing it.
And can I just say a little something about the fact that the thing that I mourned the most was nobody made me breakfast on Monday morning.
Yeah.
Like, there was no gluten-free French toast, warm from the oven, with a little heated thing of syrup sitting next to it for me to eat, or very delicious eggs.
Yeah, that food was off the charts.
I mean, the food was so good.
Off the charts, happy hour, everything.
Yeah, happy hour was really fun.
I really needed to get back to normal life. So
yeah, my pants will not tolerate me being at the Sea Lazy U more than
exactly,
1 week at a time.
Yes.
No kidding.
I concur. Yeah.
No kidding. Oh, goodness. So, yes, that was fun. Anybody been out to something else since we last saw each other? It's
what,
hard
two
to
days
think
ago?
Of anything. Yeah. Well, I was thinking since last recording that we did.
Well, we had horses on the beach.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And we haven't talked about that on, I mean, we talked about the fact that we were going to be
at
Horses on the Beach. Horses on the Beach for me was like eye twitching. I had like an eye twitch the whole time. I was so stressed.
But only because of the weather related aspect.
We had great photographers.
We weren't sure if we were going to get everything in. So yeah, the models. And Kara, you were, kudos to you for an amazing, just getting everything together with the models and the flower theme and just everything at Princess Place, from the beach to Princess Place, all the logistics, everything that you do and your hard work does not go unnoticed. So thank you for all that.
Thank you. I appreciate hearing that. It was, I mean, I have to say though, we had great photographers and the models were just so willing to be flexible with weather. And it ended up being some really beautiful light, even though I don't think we saw an ounce of sunshine the entire time. And not even like a ray, not even a single ray poked through the clouds, but we had beautiful light regardless. And I'm real happy with the pictures. I hope the photographers are too. I'm seeing a ton of them. So I think they are.
Yeah. I had a lot of fun at Horses on the Beach. And it was so much fun that both of those events were in February. And we went from summer to winter.
Yeah,
and then
like
I came back here to definitely spring launching in Missouri. So it was a definite little trip through the seasons for the month of February, which thank you guys for, by the way, it was my birthday month. So thank you all for making my birthday special. I got to go out to a really cool Mexican restaurant with these two and our other friends that were at the event, Betsy and Tracy. So it was a lot of fun to celebrate the next year of my life with you guys. And I just had a great time. I feel bad that the weather wasn't better. And it's funny because we went from praying that it wouldn't rain to praying that it would snow. So I definitely think we had our priorities straight, but we were a little confusing to the weather.
I think
gods.
So.
So, all right. Are we ready to jump into this week's topic?
I think we are.
So one of the things that I think is the most difficult for photographers is sharing their work. And today we want to talk about overcoming the fear of sharing. So basically, we want to get you to press send, post, and share on your images to be able to get them out there into the world. And primarily, this episode is talking about sharing your work digitally, like on social media and your website and some other places. But I think all of the things that we're going to talk about today are going to be principles that you could apply even if you're going to go share your work with a group of people or with someone who's buying art or with your client or with any ways that you put yourself out there. I know it's hard because especially if you're not used to sharing your work, I can tell you from my perspective, and I'm interested in how you two feel about this. From my perspective, it did get easier. The longer I did it and the more I did share my work, the easier it got for me to continue to share it. Is that true for you, Phyllis and Kara?
Definitely, yes. The longer you do it, the easier it is to put yourself out there.
So I was like the opposite. You know how I always talk about how I just decided I was going to become a horse photographer and immediately started a business. So I basically went outside and saw my horses and took pictures and immediately posted them online and was like, guess what? I'm a photographer. I'm a horse photographer. So, you know, was it a mistake? I mean, I had to go in years down the line and remove a lot of pictures that I no longer wanted out in the world. But I didn't have the fear of posting. I didn't have that fear. I had too much confidence.
That's all good. I wonder if some of that is a little bit generational. You're a little younger than Phyllis and I are.
Probably.
Since I'm so
now
young.
You're a baby compared to the two of us.
Just a baby.
Yeah. And it may have a little bit of generational. It can also have a lot to do with any kind of trauma and how your parents felt about what you did. I know that we don't want to blame everything on our parents, but there's a lot of things that we pick up when we're kids that really ride rent-free in our brains and bodies for the remainder of our lives. And we're not half the time even aware of it. I work with that all of the time here on the ranch with the equine gestalt stuff that I do. I see people have these huge aha moments. It's like, oh my God, I never understood why I reacted that way to certain things. And it all falls back to some moments in their childhood or their early years or to trauma in their adulthood that tends to kick at us and drag us down a little bit, which is sad.
I think for me, my feelings at first about being afraid of sharing was that right off the bat, when I got into photography, I was hanging out with a lot of really, really, really accomplished photographers. And a lot of them were men, probably 80% of them were men, which I'm not blaming it on the men per se, because it was my feelings of inadequacy that kept me from sharing. Because I just, you know, I'd look at their work and go, oh gosh, there's no way I can compete with that. Part of it was you have to think that sometimes you're not really competing. It's just getting yourself out there. But I always feel like I'm competing. I think that's part of my
Or being
issues.
Judged against.
Yes.
Yeah. So there's a theory that I learned early on in my business career from some mentors that I had in the very beginning of starting my business doing consulting work and doing graphic design and photography. And someone told me, go hang out with people that are like the people you want to be. So the people you want to be when you grow up, go hang out with them. And it pushes you, but it does create better things. So Phyllis, I think you did exactly the right thing. But I know how intimidating it can feel to be amongst those masters, the people that you really want to be like, because you hold them in pretty high esteem. And then now you're being super vulnerable. And I do think creatively, any artist has a little bit of a difficulty in being able to share their work and separate their self from the work. And I think that's probably the very first key in understanding. And the thing you have to remember, and I hope this helps some people out there, is that each one of us has had a unique experience on this planet. We had a unique childhood. We've had a unique day. We've had a unique last year. Every single one of us, we've experienced the same events, but every time we experience an event or a piece of art, we bring all of that history that is unique to us to that. So you cannot take personally what I feel about a photograph because that's my unique life walking into that. And that's what makes art so subjective. And it makes it difficult for people because for one person sees as beauty and absolute magic, another person, it triggers something in them that is totally a different set of feelings. So when you're thinking about sharing your work, you need to absolve yourself to some degree of the responsibility for that because you have no idea what stories are walking into your photograph. And yes, you're going to inspire some people. Other people are just going to pass it by. And there is always the opportunity that someone may have a unsettling or a negative reaction. And yeah. That's okay. That's what art is supposed to do. It is supposed to inspire us. It is supposed to elicit a response. And the truth is that person, if they had a negative response to it, they can look away. They can move on. Now, I know in the social media world, sometimes it's really difficult because people have anonymity to be able to say the things that they would never, ever, ever say to a person to their face about their work, about their photography, about their life, about everything. There are judgmental people out there. And here's the biggest thing that helped me. When somebody comes at my work, because I know that that person is walking into that piece of work with their life experience, I can understand that their negative reaction is theirs. It's their shit, so to speak, not mine. And I have a choice in that moment. I can pick it up and take it in, or I can just say, yeah, I'm just going to leave that there. That's what is in their world. And I know the other day I was talking, and I'm not going to get too far off track, Kara. She's looking at me like you're getting off track, Kim.
No, but, I was thinking about.
But the other day I was asked a really interesting question that has nothing to do with photography. But basically, if you could give a young person one and only one piece of advice, what would that be? And my piece of advice would be learn as quickly as you can what reactions belong to you and what belong to other people. Like learn what's your shit and what's somebody else's shit. Because
such a good thing to think about.
It is. And this is really important when it comes to sharing your artwork, because you've got to remember, again, those people are coming with all of those stories. And so learn to separate it. If somebody has a bad reaction and it triggers something in you, hey, that could be an indication that you need to do something about that. You need to work on it. That's something. When you can get to the point where you can show your images to people, and if they have something negative to say or judgmental, and you're able to say, that's great, that's the way you feel about it, and move on, then you now can choose your response versus having a reaction.
That's such a good point. And it's a great example is while we were at Horses in the Snow this week, I had an Instagram reel that blew up, and I've posted on Instagram over 4,000 posts. So I've been posting for a long time on Instagram, and you get in this kind of bubble of your people that follow you, and you have kind of regular commenters and people that are like your fans or your supporters or your people. And they're always really positive, and you get used to that. And then you have a post go viral or reach a lot of people that are outside of your normal audience. And it's like a whole new world where you open yourself up to the negative comments and the people that probably aren't your normal audience or aren't your audience at all, that are not made for you. Yeah. And you start to see those people. And the next thing you know, you're kind of thrown into the pattern of, or this world of like a lot of negative comments and that sort of thing. So I was actually navigating that a lot this last week. And I'm a by nature or by upbringing, I don't know which, I'm a bit of a people pleaser. So when I was getting the comments, I was struggling a lot with, well, do I just delete the video? Do I delete the comments? Do I hide the comments? Do I block the users? How do I handle this? Do I apologize? You know, like, what do I do? So it was a whole new world for me in terms of, you know, I'm used to being in my little bubble where I do my own thing. And then I was kind of pushed out into a broader audience that probably wasn't my people.
Yeah. And that's the bottom line.
It's a risk you run.
Wow. This is really touching home for me, Kim, because of what you just said. I just listened to a podcast yesterday called, I think it's 10% Happier.
Oh.
And the episode I listened to was all about learning how to respond mm-hmm. rather than react. And I think that, wow, that just really, with what you just said, it was like, oh my gosh, this is me all over. And what you're talking about too, Kara, I mean, it's just like, thank you for bringing that into this conversation, because it mm-hmm. really hit home for me after what I listened to yesterday. So
yeah,
I'll have to go find that one.
It's one of the trickiest things that you can do in this world is learning how to, or just being able to be aware enough to choose the response that you want to have versus having a reaction. And the fun thing about it is the more that you do your own, what we call work in Gestalt, the better you get at that. And you find yourself when you're having a reaction to say, okay, what is going on here? Because this is not what should be normal. There's either something, and then you got to determine, is it external or is it internal? And if it's internal, how can I fix it? If it's external, then it's not your shit, so to say. So that means that that belongs to them. And by the way, you can say, hey, I mean, I feel sorry for people sometimes. So I'll tell a story on myself before we move on. It has nothing to do with photography. I do a lot of speaking. And they give out the forms to people to give reviews. So I get reviewed, which is even crazier than putting your work out on the internet. It's like we're giving your stuff to people to say, hey, rate me. And there's a little place on the form where you can add a comment. And I am a little OCD about reading those comments because I'm always interested to know how people are reacting to what I do and responding to what I do. And one comment on one form many years ago said, your fingernails are distracting. Your fingernail polish is too distracting. You need to use a different, more muted fingernail polish. Now, anybody who knows me knows I love crazy fingernail polish. I love the decals. I love doing my nails. I like my nails to look really nice. And in this particular case, my nails were actually black and white. Most of them were black and one nail was white. And so, I mean, it was actually pretty subdued for me, to be honest with you. But I had a choice in that moment. Could I really take that personally and change how I do my fingernails to please this one person? Or could I really understand that it was about this person who pointed out nail polish? Something in their life was really broken. That was what they took away from a 2-hour presentation about marketing their business. If that was your takeaway, then I have to say a prayer or say something nice for you, because that's a really sad position to be in life when that's the thing you take away. And it was a fun moment for me because I was able to go, oh gosh, look at me. I can separate it, because there were times in my life I would have definitely continued to change my fingernail polish for decades to make sure that that never happened again, because it would have been a change that I could have made. But that's the bottom line with your art, you guys. When you're sharing your photos out into the world, yes, there are going to be people who have reactions. There are going to be times when people are naysayers, but it's okay. It is okay. Chances are that belongs to them. The one other thing that I want to say before we move on is the other sentiment that we hear a lot from our students when they're coming into our workshops and we ask them, you know, what is the thing that is a concern for you in your photography? And a question that we get asked a lot is, am I good enough? And this rolls back to that same thing, because I can answer that question undoubtedly. Yes, you are good enough for where you are in your process, in your life, in your work right now. And yes, you will continue to grow. If you continue to pick up your camera and shoot, you will get better and better and better. There are times that I look back at the work that I did 30 years ago and I cringe a little bit. And then there are other times I look back and go, look at me learning. And you will look back and say, I've learned a lot since then. Be open to the new experience and always be looking to improve yourself, but know you are exactly perfect in the exact right time, in the exact right place, and exactly as your work is right now. So that said, with that kind of sentiment, you do have to put yourself out there because it's the way you grow and expand. And growth isn't always easy and simple. Sometimes it's a little bit on the painful side. Sometimes it's hard. But when you put yourself out there, you have that opportunity. You open the door to that growth, to being a better photographer and to being more whatever goal you're trying to reach, whether it's a better business or a better hobbyist, or just really sharing the joy of whatever your favorite passion is, which for us is horses. Kara, I think you have, I have some things that you could add to that.
Well, I'm going to talk a little bit about kind of the why behind sharing your work from the perspective of what I do as an equestrian portrait photographer. So I remember when I first started my photography journey, I had a binder with little tabs and I had printed pictures that I put inside of that binder and I would carry that around with me. And when I was trying to get hired, I would flip through and show people my pictures. Like I would just flip through, look, here's some pictures that I've taken. And so it's kind of like my version of like a portfolio. So today I think about my website and honestly, I think about my social media feed as a portfolio to some extent. And so I will ask anybody that I am meeting with who is interested in booking me for equestrian portraits or for pictures of their horse, I will ask them, have you visited my website? Have you spent time on any of my social media feeds? Are you familiar with my work? And I will tell them, because my work is a representation of what you should expect to receive from me after your session. I'm not going to change my style during our time together. And I want people to be clear that what they have seen is what they should expect. I definitely view my social media pages and view my website as a portfolio that my clients can look to really understand my style, understand the type of images I provide, the type of imagery I create, and also what they should expect from me. So if they come to me and they're looking for something, like if they start sending me inspiration images, for example, that don't look anything like something that I will be creating for them, that's my chance to remind them at the time of booking that this, I'm probably not the photographer for you because this is a style that's really not something that I do. And I know there are photographers out there that will edit to any style, that will create from any style. That's just not where I'm at in my journey. And I am very big on being real consistent and showing what my clients can expect. So I think from a standpoint of why you should share your work, that just the simple fact that it can be a portfolio for you is a really great place to start. What do you guys think about that? Do either of you think about your website or your social media as portfolio work for you?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I do because I'm better at keeping my social media up to date than I am my website, which is probably not a good thing, but
okay. And then I also think it's really important to share your work because, you know, in today's the way that people look for business, the way that they look for businesses to work with, sharing your work is how people's going to find you. And it gives you better visibility through location tagging. You can location tag a lot of your images. You can hashtag for location or type of imagery. There's just a lot of ways out there that people are searching today. I have gone from using Google as my primary search when I'm looking for a business to using Instagram first. So if I'm looking for a particular type of like service provider, like recently I'd been looking for someone who does leather tooling, and I started on Instagram before I went anywhere else because I wanted to see what was out there. And I know that a lot of folks share their work, images of their work online, and that the social media feeds would be a quicker place to find the most up-to-date versions of that. So I think that's really important to think about putting your work out there, even as a way to be found. I think, Phyllis, you're going to talk a little bit about exposure down in your section, so I won't go any further than that. But that, I think, is really an important piece that I think about. It's also how people are going to find you as an artist, and they're going to fall in love with your work and follow you and support you. And it's another place that for visibility. I mean, I think that the number of times that people need to see you in marketing is, didn't we say it was like 18 times now? It used to be 7 times they needed to come across your work. Now it's like 18 or more because there's so much there's so much. We're always being inundated with visuals and we're being sold to all the time that they need to see our work even more. So I think that it just gives you more visibility out in the world. And that's how people are going to find you. That's how they're going to fall in love with you. That's how they're going to get to know you and your personality is by putting your work out there. If you're shooting as a business and you want clients to know what your style is, how you approach your work, and even something as simple as like your personality through the copy that you put with your images, I think that's a good thing to think about because when I share on my website or what I share on my social media is my voice. It's the way that I talk to people. It gives them a little bit of information about who I am as the artist and am I a good fit to work with them personality wise. So even thinking about it a step further about more than putting your images out there, you're putting yourself out there to some extent. It's also a great way for them to figure out, you know what? She's not the right photographer for me. I don't like her style, or I don't love her images, or I like her images, but every time she writes something with her images, it's cringeworthy and it's just not me. So, you know, that's okay too. We need to know who our clients aren't as well as we need to know who they are. So I think that's okay. And then, you know, another reason that I share my work is so often is because, I don't know, art makes me feel good. It makes me feel something. And I like putting that out into the world. I like when my work brings other people feelings, when it gives them emotions, when it makes them feel something. And I mean, that's part of the reason I became an artist in the first place. I became a photographer in the first place is because I wanted to share and try to capture on camera what I always call the feeling of being with horses. And it's a really simple way to just say, I want to try to photograph what it feels like as a horse person, you know, and as someone who likes to spend time with their horses. So it makes people feel something. And that's important to me, putting stuff out there. The only other thing I'm going to add to this is just, I don't think anyone was going to talk about model releases. And I do say that you should share, but get a release. You just never know who you're working with and what their private lives are like. And I have had clients, when we get to the part of talking about model release, tell me about, you know, they're in hiding from an abusive partner, or they have children that are going through and they're going through custody proceedings, and they just don't, you know, or other privacy issues that they don't want out in the world. So they have specifically asked me not to share images at that time. Or maybe they've got a big surprise coming up and they want the images for that, and they want to be the first person to release those images out into the world. So just make sure you're having conversations about this with your subjects, with your models, with the people that you photograph prior to putting everything out into the world, and that you get a model release. That's all I've got, Phyllis. You can talk about the rewards. Sorry.
No, that was great, Kara. I mean, both of y'all, what you've spoke about is great. I'm going to talk about, obviously, the rewards of sharing. I think for us photographers, or for all photographers, there's so many great rewards to sharing your work on social media, websites, and even through submissions to contests or publications. First and most importantly, you're going to get exposure and recognition, potentially reaching people that would never have seen your work otherwise. The exposure can lead to recognition from your peers, from current clients or future clients, and even industry professionals. And this will really help to establish your name and your brand in the photography community. Of course, this can also lead to networking opportunities, or it has for me, a big part of it, engaging with other photographers, industry professionals, and potential clients can lead to collaborations, partnerships, and even job opportunities. So posting your work online will allow you to receive, sometimes this is good and bad. As like we talked about before, I think you need to take some of this with to think about when you might be getting some feedback and critique from a diverse audience when you do post your work online. And sometimes don't take that personally, like we talked about before. But this feedback can also be invaluable to help improve your skills, to refine your style, and to gain insights into how your work is perceived by others, which I think has been a really big help for me over the years. Sharing your work on websites, social media, and through submissions will also help build a portfolio that showcases your skills, your style, and your versatility, and even your personality, like Kara said. A strong portfolio is super essential for attracting clients, new clients, retaining old clients, securing exhibitions even. I did that through sharing my work. I got a couple of exhibitions of my work back years ago, pursuing career opportunities in photography as well. Consistently sharing your work online will help build your personal brand as a photographer by curating your online presence and showcasing your best work. And I want to stress that, showcase your best work.
That's so important.
Always. Yes, very important. Because I do see people that are really good photographers that sometimes don't always put their best work out there. And we really need to think about that's what we want to bring across is what we're doing.
Or they photo dump, where they have their best work, but then they've got 40 other images from the shoot that are not their best work.
Yeah. You know, I can see some of that sometimes, though, and maybe if they're trying to tell a story, but you still have to be careful about that you are telling a story if you, like you said, photo dumping. So I like that, Kara. Thanks for adding that in. But you're going to attract your target audience by doing this. And also you're going to set yourself apart from your competitors, which is a big thing, and establish yourself as an authority in your niche, too. So these are all things that people need to think about, whether you're just beginning or advanced photographer. One thing that really, really helped me in the beginning is submitting your work to contests, exhibitions, and now, of course, publications, because all this can lead to opportunities for recognition and awards as well. And winning or being featured in these competitions or even publications can really significantly enhance your credibility as a photographer and open new doors to some great opportunities for you. Sharing your work online can also lead to monetization opportunities, of course, such as selling prints or licensing your images for commercial use, or even new client projects from those who discover your work online. I think the rewards of sharing are endless. And if you're scared to put yourself out there, start small and keep going. Just do it.
No, I think that's great. I like the piece about starting small too. Like, you don't have to go in and start posting something every single day. But if you've been sitting on, like I was talking to someone the other day and they've had this beautifully designed website for weeks and they're just scared to hit publish.
To put it out
because
there. Yeah.
They're afraid of what'll happen after they push publish. Either, you know, people are going to give feedback they're not ready to hear, or maybe it's that they're not ready to get busy or they're not ready for the work yet. But sometimes you just have to get started. And I will tell people, you know what, like social media, if you put an image out there, I've done it where I put an image out there and then I went and looked at it and I was like, you know what, I need to rework that image. I'll delete it and start over and post it again later.
Of course.
I guess to some extent, when you put things on the internet, it could be there forever. But for something like social media posts, it's one of those things where you can delete it. And you can also do, like, you know, on Instagram and Facebook, they have stories which are only up for a day. So you could even start small and test some things out in a way that might feel safer because it's only there for a day, for 24 hours, and then it's gone. But definitely, I like that idea of just starting small, but start somewhere. You know, just get started and put your work out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was working with another photographer the other day. He had gotten to where he was not sharing as much of his work. And he had decided that he was kind of like not going to do like a photography page. He was just going to put things on his personal page. And I would encourage people, like, find a home for your work. You know, whether it be a website or a social media channel that's just dedicated, like, take the time to kind of separate that from your personal stuff and like find a home for it and start small that way.
I've also heard of people that are, well, I don't want to put my work out there because I'm afraid it's going to get stolen. And I mean, that's part of the beast that we, you know, of social media. Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, that can happen off your own website for that matter. But I feel like the advantages to sharing way out, you know, there's so much more important, and what you get, the rewards of sharing really outweigh the negative part of, I'm sure it might happen, but I still think it's just, it way outweighs itself from having to worry about people stealing your images.
And if you've got this like polished diamond that you're worried is going to be stolen or you're going to have some kind of copyright issue with, maybe that's the one you don't share because you've got big dreams for that, you know? And I know photographers who are doing image competitions and they aren't going to share those because those are their gems that they're entering into competition and they can't. So, you know, you have some control over what you share and what you don't share.
Well, and then copyright. Copyright's a big thing too. Register it with the U.S. Copyright Office if you're worried about some of that. But I still feel like the advantages are so much greater than not doing it. Yep.
Awesome. I'm loving this episode and I'm hoping we've encouraged some people to get out there and do some sharing. We hope that you guys have enjoyed this episode and that, like I said, that you guys are out there sharing. If you are, tag Cowgirls with Cameras. We'd love to see your work and follow you online. So if you're on social media, if you're a photographer and we're not already following you, we want to be following you. Tag us at Cowgirls with Cameras and we'll pop over and give you a follow if we haven't already. And yeah, if you were online at Cowgirls with Cameras on social media, we're on our website is cowgirlswithcameras.com. And we've got a lot of great events coming up, one of which we just attended was the Horses in the Snow. But we've got the Essentials Workshop coming up in the next month. And we've got Trapper's Lake and Cottonwood and Dryhead. We've got all sorts of great opportunities out there. We'd love to have you join us at. So head over to our cowgirlswithcameras.com events and see what might be a great fit for you to join us somewhere out in the world.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Cowgirls with Cameras. Don't let the laughter and learning stop here. Join our community on social media and be sure to visit our website for more opportunities to fulfill your photography goals. Head to cowgirlswithcameras.com. That's cowgirlswithcameras.com. See you next time.